there's a reason that we require obedience now. And while we're in the middle of the situation, I don't think of all the implications of where it could go either way. We don't think of all those things. But the fruit of our labor, requiring obedience, just keeping after the little things each step of the way, the fruit of our labor will bear fruit, and it will bear good fruit. And we need to look long term. I don't know what you're used to here. This is Bible study. Is it okay for me to ask questions and expect responses? I'd like to do some of that as well. All right, tonight we're considering cultivating responsibility in our children. I'm not a farmer. Some of you are more of a farmer than I am. But to cultivate means to prepare for growing, to develop, to improve, so that the growing can happen and can happen well. So we're talking about preparing and guiding the process of our children learning responsibility. As parents, we've been given the awesome responsibility to teach responsibility to our children, so that they follow in that path. Well, what is responsibility? I recently acquired my great-grandfather's 1922 Webster's Imperial Dictionary. That's a full 5 inches thick. I thought, this should be safe to go there and find out what responsibility is. I wasn't surprised. It's the quality or state of being responsible. Been given responsibility. Being answerable, accountable, liable. And responsible means liable to be called to account as a primary cause. I'm sorry, the primary cause, motive, or agent. You are responsible for something, you can be taken into account for it. As I pondered this subject and where to go, and wondered, why do we as parents place such importance on teaching responsibility? Why do we think it is such an important thing? My mind kept going back to the fact that we are accountable. As human beings, we are accountable. Creator God, the God that created the heaven and the earth and everything around us, also created man, includes you and I. And he created us for a purpose. All of nature responds to God as it was purposed. It glorifies God. God's creation glorifies God. And that's what God wants of us as well. But we find that it's the human beings who were created with choice who so often do not glorify their Creator since the fall. And so I believe that is why we as God-fearing parents need to teach responsibility to our children. With the privilege of personal choice comes the responsibility or the reality that we are now accountable. We are accountable to God, our Creator. Scripture points this out numerous times. I'm going to read several verses in 1 Peter 4 that brings this out. 1 Peter 4, 1 to 5. For as much then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lusts of men, but to the will of God. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles, when we walked in lasciviousness, lusts, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries. Wherein they think it strange that ye run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. So he's saying, time passed, we did this, now we don't. And they think it strange of us. Who shall give account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead? Those who are running to this excess of riot will be judged for their deeds. And the righteous as well will come to judgment for their deeds. Hebrews 9:27, and it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. As we consider Scripture, we understand that we cannot separate this life from the next. Man tries to do that, but we cannot. Man tries to ignore the fact that there is death, that there is eternity, that there is a God, ultimately for the purpose of we are accountable to God. They want to disregard that. But no matter how they try, we all know that death awaits us, everyone. Every one of us will meet death. And when we meet death, we will meet God. Each one of us. And when I meet God, I'm going to be responsible. I am going to be accountable. For me, not for grandpa, not for my son, not for my wife. When I meet God, I'm going to be accountable for me, and you will be accountable for you, each one of us. I believe that is why we teach our children responsibility. That's the bottom line. Because one day, we will meet God. At a very young age, we become responsible for our thoughts, our words, and our actions, our responses. We're responsible for our responses to the things that come to us. We can't always control what comes to us. We're not responsible for that. But I am responsible for how I respond to those things. We must control them with God's help. That is why we're called into account. Scripture says it this way, Matthew 5:28, but I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. That is simply a thought, a response to a thought. Something you cannot see. Man is taken into account for that. Matthew 12:36. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. There's our verbal response. When we meet God, every word I've said. Scripture says every idle word. But God takes into account every word, every action I've done. And I will face those things when I meet God. Ezekiel 18:20. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. The son shall not bear the iniquity of the father, neither shall the father bear the iniquity of the son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon him, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him. Galatians 6:8. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. There's our actions. We will be accountable for our actions. Thoughts, words, actions. Romans 14, 11 and 12. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. It's a fact, brothers and sisters. I believe it's important that we reckon with that. For many years, people knew that maturity is grown and is developed by responsibility. The younger we learn responsibility, and you read some of those old stories and puts my children to shame. The younger we learn responsibility, the younger we mature. In 1778, John Quincy Adams served in an ambassadorial post in the court of Catherine the Great in Russia. He was 14 years old. This is a foreign concept to so many people today. You need to let your child be a child. They're only young once. You have to feed and play the child. And don't rush it. 14, 15, 16, it's all right. Just let them be a child. That's where our world is today. I think we can put a lot of it to our affluent society and just the ease of everything. With age comes responsibility, and the world would just like to, let's just hold that thing off. Just hold it off until later. I believe our children need to understand early that joy is not in getting the most fun out of it. That's not joy. Joy is in learning responsibility and serving God by serving others. Being responsible, learning to be responsible will develop a character within them that enables them to be reliable, conscientious, and honest, and dependable. And they will find that that is what gives them a satisfied life, not what gives them the most fun. Why is it that the responsible person is so desired and so lauded in our business world? Why are businesses looking for responsible people? There's all kinds of the others. Because there's value there. Does your jaw drop when you hear of someone winning a lawsuit because they spilled hot coffee in their lap because they weren't warned that it was hot? How ridiculous is that? Can we legally hold these gun-toting youth accountable in these school shootings? Do they really know what they're doing? I just read that there is a trend started where the parents are being charged. I was like, really? That's notable. Yes. Someone is responsible for this. So many criminals today are treated with mental illness because surely they, in their right mind, they wouldn't have done this. Something is wrong. We need to treat them mentally. our society has been counseling people to, well, people have problems. At least they do in Oregon. People have problems, and our society is teaching them, yes, you have this problem, but it's not your fault. Your dad, you realize your dad back here is caused this. Don't take it personal. It's somebody else's fault. It's not mine. That's what we're teaching. Maybe it's a bad attitude. Maybe it's depression. Maybe it's sin. I can just throw the blame on someone else. It's not my fault. On the other hand, you've probably seen the motto. I didn't have a motto, so I couldn't copy it. I just threw together a few that I could come up with. On the other hand, to assume responsibility for myself, if I break it, guess what? I fix it, or I pay for it. If I spill it, I clean it up. If I make tracks through the kitchen, guess who cleans it up? I do. If I make a bad decision and suffer for it, I take it. I take it willingly. If I make a foolish purchase and ultimately experience loss, I'm the one that shoulders the loss. If I don't finish my job, if I don't do my job well, guess what? I go back and finish it, or I do it again until it's done right. I've got four principles tonight that I'd like to share that I believe are foundational for understanding and cultivating responsibility. Number one, we are stewards of our Lord's goods. Matthew 25, 14. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. We are stewards of our Lord's goods. To illustrate these four points, I'd like to go to the story of Joseph and just pull out a little piece of the story of Joseph to help illustrate these points. We are stewards of our Lord's goods. Joseph comes to my mind as a responsible person, a responsible young person. And I can only assume that he was diligently taught as a child to assume responsibility at home. He had chores. He needed to carry him out. It's believed that he was 17 when he was sold to Potiphar there in Egypt. Be pretty young nowadays. Being bought by Potiphar soon discovered that this young man had a head on his shoulders. He knew how to take care of things. He knew money matters. And Potiphar very quickly put him in charge of his things, his household and his things. It says that the Lord was with him, and Potiphar gave him everything he had. Joseph, here it is. Take care of it. It says the Lord was with him and blessed him. And because Joseph handled these things and the Lord was with him, it says that the Lord blessed the entire estate of Potiphar for Joseph's sake. Responsible young man. I think it's safe to assume that there was teaching at home that went into that boy, so that when he, at 17, was sold off into a big unknown, he just maintained those things that his dad had instilled into him. There was a foundation laid. He was not selfish. He was not there to get out of life everything he could for himself. No, he was there. He served Potiphar. He blessed Potiphar as a steward of his goods. Our oldest son at home spent last month bow hunting. Partway through the season, he came to me and wondered if he could pack my handgun. As of the last few years, it is legal for a bow hunter to pack a sidearm. And with stories, accounts of hunters being, what's the word? Followed, stalked, it's not necessarily a bad idea. And so I said, yes, you may. But I want you to know that doing so makes you more responsible. The more you have in your hands, the more responsibility you carry. Just remember that. I also ask him to return it to me in the evening when he gets back. I wanted to impress two things upon him. You're more responsible if you carry this. And also, now you are also responsible for something that isn't yours. When you return in the evening, just turn it back into me. I believe this thing we call responsibility is a heavenly kingdom principle. The farther we get away from truth, the more irresponsible people get. Responsibility is based on truth. What we have, we've been given. We've been given it by God. It's not ours. I believe we need to help our children understand that what they have has been given them. Their gifts, their abilities, the things they find that they excel in. I believe we need to help them understand that these things are given to them by God. It's not theirs. Yes, use it. Use it for the glory of God, but it's God's. Don't forget that. Because it's God's, it makes me accountable for it. I need to be careful how I handle, how I use what I do with what I have. This includes my body, my voice, my mind, my time, my possessions, my money. Anything that I have that I real easily say is mine. It's given to us of God. Let's help our children understand that. When we understand that, it puts a little different light on it. Number two, what is given according to our ability. Back to Matthew 25, verse 15. And unto one he gave 5 talents, and to another 2, and to another 1. And to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. We have Joseph standing before Pharaoh. Pharaoh has come to the realization that there is a man who can help him, and that is Joseph. And Joseph is standing before him and interpreting his dreams, these dreams that made no sense. And Joseph tells Pharaoh what these dreams mean. He had already had his wise men in. They didn't have a clue. And Joseph tells him, there's a famine coming. You've been warned of it so that you can prepare for it. And this is what you need to do. Pharaoh looks at him and says, you're the man. I need a wise man to, as you've said, I need a wise man to put in charge of this. I can't do it. You're the man. You have shown this wisdom. Joseph was not carrying a self-assuming, proud air there in front of Pharaoh. Joseph was very upfront with Pharaoh. Pharaoh, this is not me. I don't have the ability to do this for you. It's God in heaven. There's no secrets with God. And it's God that gives it to me. It's God that reveals it to the king. Pharaoh set Joseph over his house, made him ruler next under the king, gave him his ring, dressed him in linen, put a gold chain around his neck, gave him the second chariot, and he ruled Egypt. Joseph was able to do this because he had allowed God to work in him and develop him and make him the man he was, a responsible young man. And he ruled with wisdom and discretion. He preserved the lives of thousands. This spring, we helped with a pool and spa install. And the spa was right next to the pool and included a footer and a block wall around it that was to get a stone veneer and cap. And got all done, paid for it. Several months down the road, I get a call. The spa has a leak. We need to dig into it and find this leak in the plumbing. So the pool contractor scheduled a day for me to meet him and the leak detection outfit to meet there and find this leak. As it ended up, I couldn't be there, and so I told him, the boys will come and do it for you. I really want you to be there. I said, no, it'll be okay. It'll be okay. They can do it. You think? I really want you to be here. I said, no, I can't. It's okay. The boys are able to do this. I'm 100% positive. Not a problem. Okay. So they went and did it. It was fine. I knew it was within their capability. We as parents, we need to stretch our children. We need to stretch them in the area of responsibility. But at the same time, we need to be careful. We need to assign responsibility to our children according as their several ability. You understand that. You don't give a 5-year-old what you give your 12-year-old. We give them responsibility as they're able. Then as they perform, as they achieve, we continue to build on that. Give them a little more and a little more. And then they need to know if they follow direction. They need that confirmation from us that they follow direction. We need to affirm and praise them as they perform. I believe that's important. With the younger child, it may not have been done quite perfectly. That's all right. Praise them for what they did. And be willing to get down on the floor and help them finish. Give them an expectation and then see them through. Praise them for their accomplishment. If we're going to hold our children to it, to what we tell them, and we need to do that, then they need to know clearly what it is that's expected of them. We as parents crave approval. We want that confirmation that it's okay. Our children are no different. They need that confirmation from us. Need that approval. They want it. They need it. Let's give it to them. Number three, exercise the gift you have. 1 Peter 4:10. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. God expects us to use the gift he's given us, whatever that is. And I believe increase is only made if we use it. God's gifts don't benefit, don't increase sitting here in a box. God's gifts only increase when we use them, when we give them. Go back to the parable of the talents. Very clear. One day, Joseph was in prison. He'd been there for a little while. And one morning he came upon two prisoners that were very sad, very down, and were grumbling. It was the king's butler and the king's baker. And so he went to them and investigated and discovered that they had had dreams. They had each had a dream. And they had no idea what these dreams meant. And again, Joseph, as he told Pharaoh, he told these two men, do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me your dreams. I'll help you. Joseph had a connection with God. Joseph had gifts, and Joseph utilized those gifts. He knew he had a connection with God. He knew God responded to him. He knew that God could interpret dreams, and he was willing to be a vessel to give those dreams, give the meaning of those dreams. Even to these heathen in this heathen land. This fall, we've been cutting firewood again, and the last couple of years, we've had to take a few trees down from our place, and so we're cutting those up, and Jaden had been out and cut some rounds and decided to, instead of just splitting them up out there in the pasture where the logs are, he'll bring the rounds in, dump them at the woodshed. We'll just split them up right there, and we don't have to handle them twice. Great thinking. So he cut a load of rounds and brought the rounds in. They're big rounds. Brought a load of rounds in, dumped them off at the woodshed. And he didn't get to it right away. And so the younger set of boys went out there, took their axes, mauls, sledgehammers, wedges, you name it, and started into this wood. And they split wood. They even got the girls involved. And they had this pile of wood split up. Well, it surprised me how fast. They didn't need Big Brother. And they couldn't have had more fun. Yes, I went out one day, and there was an axe handle twisted off, and there was a maul handle that, oops, somebody missed the head and come down on the handle and broke the handle off. I had to just, yeah, okay. All right. It's okay. It's part of the process. It's part of the learning process. Dad will just need to fix a couple of tools, that's all. Then I told Jaden, the next load, we're not going to bring to the woodshed. We're just going to leave them out there in the pasture. We're going to let the boys keep working at it. We're going to split it up out there. And we're going to handle the rest twice. I know there's that quip, work smarter, not harder. Well, Dad decided to, no, I'm teaching responsibility. They need the work. It's good for them. It's making men out of them. I'm just going to let them work. They'll handle it twice. It's okay. If your children are like ours, they're not all the same. They like different things. They do different things because they like different things and they're good at different things. What one does, the other can't, at least not very well. Different gifts. They have different abilities. Now, the dishes need to be washed, whether you have the gift for it or not. I understand that. We have some of those things. Just, it's got to be done. But then there's some things that, well, she just does real well at this. Parents, pick up on that. Let her use that. Maybe it's drawing. Maybe it's compassion. I tell you, some people, some children have more compassion than others. More than I have. Let them use it. Use the gift. Build the gift. Maybe it's singing. And children learn to sing real young. And what a blessing. Feed the gift. Whatever it is. Encourage it, build it. Teaching them that these things are God-given. God gave this to you. God is allowing you to enjoy this and have this and use this. Go for it. But glorify Him in the process. Bless others. Glorify God. Find ways that they can exercise these gifts to bless others. And then help them, help enable them to do that. And to find joy in doing that. Others are able to do other things better. That's okay. That's okay. God has given you this. Use it. Use what God's given you. Number four, occupy till I come. Luke 19:13. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. We already noted Joseph in prison, but I want to go back there for just a moment. We have Joseph in prison, and if you recall, Joseph hadn't done anything wrong. Here he was, jailed for having done right. Now, over the years, I've read accounts of this happening, where individuals are incarcerated wrongly, wrong person, they arrested and incarcerated the wrong person for the crime. And I've always just had this, felt sorry for him. The poor person, these years behind bars, that wasn't right. And so it seems Joseph had every right to be sitting in jail moping. This is terrible. I don't belong here. What useless time. But with what's written, not much is written, but with what's written, that's not the conclusion I come to. Joseph was not sitting in his box, moping. Again, it says that the Lord was with him and the Lord showed him mercy. And after a time, I don't know how long, the keeper of the prison said, hey, you want some things to do? I've got some things you can do. Let him out and let him perform some duties. And pretty soon he just turned the whole business over to him. Everything that happened in the jail was under Joseph's hand. Incredible. Again, a responsible young man. And as happened in Potiphar's house, God blessed everything he did. Everything. The prison was one blessed place. Because Joseph was there. I think it's safe to assume that Joseph was not laying in his cell watching those filthy rats scurry around looking for tidbits to eat and focused on them and moping about how terrible this place is. He caught the little sunbeam that came through the wall and shone in his cell, and he reminded him of God. God is out there. God has used me in the past. I know I'm here. I don't belong here. But surely God has a purpose. Surely God has something for me to do here. There were needy people around him, and Joseph ministered to them. Others. He looked for ways to brighten their day, ways to bring purpose to these monotonous hours, day after day after day. Joseph busied himself ministering to the needs of others. Austin, I'm going to talk about a school teacher a little bit, so I'm going to choose you. Who's your school board chairman? Is he here tonight? Brother Dwight, have you assigned the school board members to regularly but stealthily show up on the school property and just check in on Austin and see what he's doing? All right. Austin, have you felt watched? All right. You as a school board here hired him for this position. I can only assume that you expected him to have some level of responsibility as he came and you put him in the schoolroom. It's safe to say that you're not, school board isn't here every day, just keeping tabs, making sure everything runs smooth. And Brother Dwight, so as things go well, you let it keep going. And if you have concerns, I suppose you approach him and ask for his cooperation and go from there. And so, in a sense, the board has given him this responsibility and said, we're here, we'll be checking in, but occupy till we come. You give him a little bit of that leeway. We give you this responsibility and we expect you to carry it out. We're here. Feel free to call us and we'll stop by unannounced. But take this and go. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, we have those well-known verses there at the beginning of the chapter. I'm not going to read them, where God outlines that there is one God, speaking to the children of Israel. There's one God, and you must love this one God with all your heart, all your soul, all your being. And then you keep reading, and he goes, and I want you to teach your children. I want you to teach your children about this God and how to serve this God. And that teaching needs to be 24/7, in the way, in the house, rising up, laying down. Teach, teach, teach. And I'd love to read the whole chapter to you to get everything. We don't have time, so I'll just cut it down here. He goes on to say that you're coming to the promised land. I promised it to you. I'm giving it to you, and you are approaching this promised land. And I just want to forewarn you that when you get there's a lot of things that you're gonna receive. You're gonna have that you didn't work for. There's houses, there's lands, there's crops. It is a bountiful land. It is the promised land, and it's going to be all yours. But you're going to have to remember that these blessings you didn't work for. And God, knowing their hearts, said, I want you to remember this. You have to teach your children this because I know your hearts. I know that when you get there and you enjoy all this richness, your attention often leaves me. You put your attention on these things. You put your heart into these things and you forget me. goes on to say, I brought you out of the land of Egypt. You know what you experienced back there. I brought you out of that because I'm putting you into this. I have something so much better for you. Now, if you can only go through this transition, if you can only go through this and fear me and teach your children to fear me, walk before God. I want you to know that God has your good in mind. I want to bless you. I want good things for you. I have your good in mind. It says that God will preserve them alive and that it will be their righteousness. It will be their righteousness. The Amplified says it this way, and it will be accounted as righteousness for us. It's Old Covenant. That was Old Covenant. But I believe that principle is so real and so true today. Our love to God produces obedience, and that obedience is our righteousness. I'm not trying to say that our works are righteousness. I'm not trying to say that. Our obedience to God produces works, yes. And that obedience is where we find ourselves righteous in Jesus' righteousness. It's through obedience. And I believe that that is the basis for which we cultivate responsibility in our children. Because in the end, obedience and learning responsibility before God produces obedience, and that will be our righteousness. May God bless you.